We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. It's our morning talk program. My name's David Inge, and we're glad to have you here. We're also pleased to have back here on the program the man we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. For a long time now, he's been stopping by once a month. We do this show on the first Wednesday, and we talk about food. And we do it like this. We pick a topic, and when I say we, I mean he picks a topic, something he'd like to talk about. And sometimes it's a key ingredient. Sometimes it's a method of cooking, a lot of different things. And we have sort of have this theme for the show. And then we talk about that, and we exchange stories and recipes, and we always have a good time. So this time around, he said, well, he's interested in talking about smoking food. And my, you know, way of going into this was by saying, well, you know, people, if smoking has been a part of food preservation for ever, probably, and a lot of people around the world smoke meat and fish and cheese and tea and almost everything you can think about, and partly that's about preservation. But I'm sure that somewhere along the line, people said, hey, we kind of like the way this tastes. This adds a nice tang, you know. And so people do that now. I think mostly people do that because they like the flavor. And while you can go out and you can buy many food items that are smoked, you can also do it yourself. But there are, you know, there are different ways of doing this and different pieces of equipment you can use. And, you know, maybe everybody has their own little twist that they like to give it. And that's what we like. See, we like to hear about the little twists, you know, the little individual things that makes your way of doing it different than somebody else's. So that's the thing. We'd be very happy to hear about cooking experiences, foods you have smoked, recipes, any and all of that is certainly great. And to participate, just give us a call, 333-9455 and toll free. 800-222-9455. Well, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. And also to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I think I'm back. I'm not sure. We'll see. Maybe in a few days I'll have it all figured out. So, as I always ask this question.
Well,
we joke about it. I always ask this question. So, what got you thinking about this?
Well, you should ask. I would like to say it started a long time ago. It kind of did. I had a smoked trout and a pint of best bitters in England in a pub. Oh, my,
that sounds pretty good.
Oh, was that ever good. And so then I would treat myself to that as often as I could when I was there. That was in the middle 70s. And I enjoyed that. And then I never found it. I did find it one place in Chicago one day, and I enjoyed it there. And then it sort of disappeared. It wasn't readily available, and I didn't know what it was, and I'd sort of lost control of it and such. And then you know, of recent years, I have slowed down on eating meat. But I have decided that I want to include fish as part of my diet. But I don't want to fry it, you know, and I don't want to do this. I don't want to do – all of a sudden I thought, wait a minute, whatever happened to smoking fish? But what is so peculiar is I had such a warped idea of what smoked fish was that it just didn't seem to fit right, you know, and yet people were doing it. And, I mean, it wasn't a means of preserving as much because it isn't preservable. You still have to keep it cold in the icebox.
Yeah.
And it is a way of cooking. And I thought, well, cooking, that's funny. Why do we make all this fuss about that? That was one piece of information that was going through my head. The other one was nearly once a week on the Food Channel, someone is smoking something on the top of the stove. Somebody was doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I thought, well, now that's weird. What happened to all this big, you've got to have a smoker the size of a freight train in order to do this? And what's the difference between coal smoking and hot smoking? And I was finding out all these things. Of course, I ran to the computer and spent about 3 days looking at everything on the computer about smoking fish. And I found some things. And then I had been entranced by Alton Brown making a little smoker out of a box, a cardboard box. And all it was turn the box upside down, cut a hole in the bottom so that you could slide a little electric heater in, and then put an iron skillet on top of that, put the wood chips in that, drill two holes higher up on it, and put two rods.
Like dowel?
Dowel rods in, and set a grill on top of that, put the fish on top of that, and smoke away. And I thought, oh, that seems to be interesting. I could do that. That wouldn't take. But then that lost interest, because where do you put the box after you're done, you know, and all this. And so, but then I hunted around, and sure enough, he's on YouTube doing that very act. I mean, somebody else, I think, has remade one, and they might be the ones on YouTube, but they give Alton Brown credit for that. And then Alton Brown also did one with a big flower pot that was a big round flower pot, and it sets down, and the heater goes into the bottom of it, and a grill across the top of it, and another piece on top. It's a very, very simple arrangement. It isn't complex at all. Oh, so I hunted and hunted and hunted and hunted and hunted. And I found, I could really get a very nice one person said, look, if you just want to smoke something like that, get an electric one. Forget about all that, because you can smoke on a Weber. You can.
Sure.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Well, but you see, that was confusing me, because I wasn't sure what smoking was all about. It's about flavoring the food is what it's really about. It's not cooking it. It's the resident heat that is cooking the fish, and then the smoke gives it an added zest and such as that. Oh, so I fussed with that for a day or two, and then I hunted up and I found good, I can get one. It wants to be $83, and someone's going to sell it for $63. Maybe I'll buy that one. And it is a very, very good one, and it's small and convenient, and all you do is turn it on and walk away, and everything takes care of itself. But in between all that, I got another couple of views on the Food Channel, and they were using something that looked like nothing more than just a roasting pan. It was 9 by 13, 3 inches thick. That's what they're using all the time. And it just sits on top of the stove. You put a few chips in the bottom, lay another pan into it, a pan that is just the size of the inside, and then that protects the chips from the food. And then put a grill on top of that, and then put the fish, because that's what I was interested in cooking at the time. Put a fish on top of that. Put it on the top of the stove, wait for the smoke to start curling up, close the piece, and start counting. And wow, I thought, that'll be great. So I hunted and hunted and found, indeed, a little place that wanted to sell me one. And in fact, I will tell you where it was. It was a place called... let me get my...
I know.
Boy, am I.
He's got his glasses on a string, and he's got his headphone cord. You're going to have to take your headphones off momentarily and put your glasses on.
Oh, I'll figure out a way.
Okay. I know.
I did it. I don't
want to have to report this in the news. Doyle Moore strangled on Focus 580 by headphone cord.
My secret pantry. It was all by itself. My secret pantry. And what I ordered was a Cameron, Cameron, stovetop smoker with free wood chips. And the whole price was only $44, and I got it.
Hmm.
So that made me very happy. I got that and started right away. And then I thought, well, this is kind of interesting. So naturally, the first thing I had to have was a smoked trout. And I did a smoked trout with some alder wood that they had sent in their package. And that was fairly delicious. I smoked two at a time, and I put one away in the ice box. And the next day, I could hardly get the hide off of the skin. Had sort of welded back to the fish, and that aggravated me. So I've learned to take the skin off before I put it in the ice box after that.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at the website, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking that, yes, in fact, I've seen on the Food Channel people use these stovetop smokers.
Yes.
And it looks indeed essentially like what you've talked about. It's a roasting pan. It has a lid that slides onto the top
to keep
it covered.
Yep.
So, and yeah, I've seen them do that where essentially they just put the chips in.
That's all there is to it.
They put there's a rack. They put the food in there. They close it up. The thing that I would wonder about is, well, really, are you going to end up with your kitchen full of smoke?
No.
It contains
the smoke. I mean, I have an exhaust on my fan, and yes, you smell the smoke when you come in for the next couple of days, maybe. But it's not invasive and it's not offensive, and there isn't very much smoke that creeps out. I was surprised at that, so that made me happy that I could do all of that inside and not have to be outside, and it did quite well. So then I got brave and I said, well, I think it's time to do the salmon. So I got a hunk of salmon, and I said, now I have always been fond of the salmon cooked in the way that they do it in Seattle, which is a lot of brown sugar. So I made up my mix, and I think I nailed it so good on the first try. I will never even change this recipe. It was 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of smoky paprika, and 1/4 teaspoon of chipotle powder, and then fluff that all up and coat the salmon, stick it in that, and I cooked it. I cooked the salmon for 45 minutes, smoked it for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was so good. I couldn't stand it. It was so good. I never did anything that pleased me so much in my life as that first smoked salmon. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am at. Now, my curiosity is, and I know that there are a lot of people who smoke food because there are a lot of sources of wood chips in Champagne. So somebody must. And when I called into the station, the person that answered my phone call said, oh, yeah, I just bought one last week. So people are doing it. I know they are. And I want to know more about successes and failures and things that make it totally, totally different. What it is is a very delicious, non-fat a cooking technique for various foods. And I know that on all those barbecue shows, they're always oohing and aahing about the black bark around the outside of barbecue, and that's the smoke ring, and that they're all excited about that.
Right. Well, let me give our telephone number here for people who want to call in and tell us about some of their smoking experiences: 333-9455. And toll-free 800-222-9455. The guy here with me is the man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And for a long time now, he's been stopping by on the first Wednesday of the month, and we talk about cooking. And we talk about a lot of different things. But basically, the idea is to encourage people to tell stories, maybe to ask questions, to share recipes, to talk about their approach to whatever that the thing is that we're talking about that time around. So 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. See, now, one thing that I'm a little confused about, because I also just kind of dipped into this, didn't spend as much time as you did, but I was kind of confused about the idea that there are some things that once you've smoked them, you can eat because they're essentially cooked.
They're cooked, yeah.
But not smoking doesn't necessarily there are some things that you smoke them, but then you actually have to cook them because you're not, you know, you've done something to the surface of the product, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there wouldn't be something in there, you know, some little bug in there that you want to make sure you don't eat.
Oh,
and that you want to make sure that you cook it. And I'm a little confused about.
Probably the thing that straightened me out a little more is that more than likely you're smoking you don't turn the fire up high. In this technique that I was doing, it is medium low, so mm-hmm. it is not a roaring heat, and but the inside of that little container I think gets up to either 250 or 315, which is pretty reasonable for cooking.
Okay.
I mean that does a good job of cooking. I was puzzled as to the product I was going to end up with, but when you started eating it, you threw all the puzzlement away because I was expecting a dried piece of fish that you could wave around in the air and be dry. But I also the first recipes that I was studying made me very disheartened because everything had to be. In the first book that I got on let's get to smoking, all of the recipes started with a salt brine, and I have to avoid salt.
Oh,
and so yeah. I ask people that I knew. I said, do you have to brine a fish before you smoke it? And it was sort of a puzzle. Like I really don't remember. You know, a lot of people had smoked a long time ago and had quit and had forgotten about all of that. So we're doing a renaissance now of re-smoking food.
So now with that, is the purpose that would, among other things, it would draw water out of the fish?
It would draw water
fish.
Out. Yeah. That is what it was doing. But I know that there would still be some residue salt in there. And yeah. I didn't want to deal with that. So I found a lot of these other, I found other situations where, no, you can put the fish right smack onto the fish, especially other meats and certain other things, pork and the rounds of pork. And
tenderloins
yeah. and pork chops and things like that probably do want to be reduced in their moisture, because and then you think, oh well, this is going to dry this all out. It doesn't dry it out. It's a very moist way of cooking, which pleased me very much, because you didn't end up with sort of a super dry and you're going to cook it too long and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
it's really quite delicious.
Okay. Well, again, questions, comments, recipes, anything, all that's welcome. 333-9455, toll free. 800-222-9455.
Now, I know in the Northwest, Native Americans in the Northwest had a technique of planking fish, and there are other cultures that deal with planking fish, which was to relate it to a wooden board and then set it up in front of the fire and let it sort of heat against that board. It's not exactly the same, but it's very much like it. And there, I think Boy Scouts learned how to plank fish in for the same reason,
mm-hmm.
to make it something that you could carry away and eat it then.
So now let me ask you a question. As I think now the stovetop smoker that you've talked about, this qualifies as hot.
As
smoking.
Yes.
So what is the difference between hot smoking and cold smoking?
I can't tell you. I'm hoping that somebody will tell me, because I can't find any book that wants to talk about it except one tiny bit, and that was this. All right, smoke your fish for 25 minutes, take it off the flame and set it to the side for 30 minutes, and that's called cold smoking. Now, I know that's not true because Alton Brown didn't do that when he was doing the bacon. He had fans. He had hot smoke in one chamber and fans that would blow the hot smoke into the second chamber. And so there was nothing but cold smoke in the second chamber.
Oh, okay.
Now, I have, but then you see, that messes with my head because, wait a minute, what's doing the cooking?
Yeah. So that you'd get the flavoring.
You'd
but
get
then...
the flavoring, but what's doing the cooking if this is hot smoke that has been cooled down and pushed over? So I need some help with that. I'm too new.
Well, we got a caller here. Let's talk with them on our line number one. Hello.
Hi. I had an attempt that was very successful at, I guess it's a version of planking, Christmas Eve several years ago. I wanted to do fish for a cold buffet after the Christmas Eve service.
Oh, yes.
And I looked all over town to try to find whole fish and finally found a couple of trout about 16 inches long up at Myers that were whole.
Mm-hmm.
It's been gutted. And I took some cedar boards that are actually just fence boards, unfinished, untreated raw cedar.
Cedar, yes.
Had some cutoffs about 16 inches long, and I soaked them in a pail of water for an hour so they would soak up water. And then I stuffed the fish with lemons and I think a sprig of thyme and some seasonings in the gut cavity, and then arranged them upright on the cedar planks so that the cavity was down. And I put them...
Did you nail them to the plank?
No, they just were balanced on there.
Oh, all right.
I curled the tail slightly to, keep them from flopping over.
Oh, okay.
And I have a Weber, but it was cold, and so I just did the gas grill on the lowest setting I could get. And I put the cedar on there, and because they were soaked in water, it didn't burst into flames.
Oh, yes.
And smoked. I think they must have been on about 35 minutes and till it was tender. And I just brought them in and cooled them off, and later on in the evening put them on a buffet.
Uh-huh.
And they were delicious. Those fish were picked clean at the end. The only thing I had to chew on were the cheeks and the lips. It was absolutely moist because the water from the wood sort of migrated up through the fish.
Yes, it does.
And it was wonderful and very easy to do.
And kind of a surprise, too, wasn't it? I mean,
I've noticed that you can buy the planks at a very high price.
Yes.
In a food store, but you can just go to your lumber yard and get a 6-foot length of untreated.
Yeah, untreated is the secret word. Don't just buy anything that's a piece of wood sitting out there. You want one that's untreated because the chemicals that are put in it for treating wood make a very bitter taste and spoil the food. The same thing when you're buying chips. Don't just go out and go to someone that's got a saw that they saw up things and some people want to use sawdust, and others say don't think of sawdust because you can't guarantee that it's pure, and you want a wood chip that is untreated so that you're not getting anything that's extra. Well, that sounds like a very wonderful success for you. I'm very happy.
Well, I just wish we could get access to better fish in our community, but I guess we're just too far from the source.
Well, I buy my trout at Schnucks. There's always whole trout for me at Schnucks.
Yeah.
And so that's and then I got a trout fillet, which pleased me a lot. And then also they have very nice salmon that are cut in smaller pieces, so I don't have to cook great big huge chunks of fish. And I've just started, but boy, converts are the worst, aren't we? Well, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
That's a good story.
We're about midway through here. It's the first Wednesday of the month. For a long time on this day, we've been talking about food and cooking, and we always have a good time with the guy that we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. Pick some topic, and then we just talk about that and tell stories and exchange recipes. And this time around, he said, well, he was interested in hearing people talk about smoking food because it's something that he's just recently been really getting into. He bought himself a stovetop smoker and has been going to town here, particularly, I think, doing smoked fish. And questions are welcome, comments, recipes. Maybe you have a story to tell us about your experiences or maybe how you do it. 333-9455. That's the Champaign-Urbana number. Toll-free, 800-222-9455. I have a caller here I want to get to, but I was interested in what the caller had to say because I too have seen the cedar planks that they sell for.
Oh, this. Yes.
And I'm sure you can buy them in stores and you can order them through catalogs and stuff. And I guess I was a little bit, I was kind of wondering, like, well, gosh, would I really like something that tasted like cedar? I have used the little chips that you buy in the store for that purpose. And,
uh-huh.
and it, actually what I just sort of do a quick and dirty thing. If I want some smoke when I'm grilling, I just take some, soak them in water, and then when I'm ready to cook, just sprinkle them right on the coals.
Around
the edge, so that I still have a fire to cook that. But particularly right at the beginning, it makes some smoke, and you know it gets you some of that flavor in
there. That's another way of doing it. It's a way of doing it.
Yeah. But I always kind of wondered. Well, gosh, cedar. That seems like, you know, I know about cedar chests and keeps the moths away from your clothes, and I'm thinking, gosh, that's a pretty strong, resinous kind of wood. I'm not sure what that would be like.
Well, it works, though. It does work, and I think in planking, you don't get as much smoke because you're not confining it, and so it takes on a nice wooden taste. But it's not heavy smoking.
Okay. Well, all right. Good. Well, let's talk with somebody else here. I've got a caller on line number two. Hello.
Hello, and good morning, Mr. Inge. Nice to hear you back. I'd like to approach a couple of different things, and I missed a little bit of your show, so I may be covering other grounds. Number one, to get to the wood aspect of it, you can use all kinds of woods, but you do have to be careful about some. Some are not good for you. Okay.
Yes.
There's many types of woods that will make you sick. Okay. Do not use magnolia. They're part of the oleander family.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Don't do that. They're very much like poison ivy.
Yep.
Okay. You don't want to use that. You shouldn't use walnut. Walnut has eugenol in it. It's not a particularly good chemical for you, though. I don't know that it actually hurts you too much, but it's not good. It won't add a good flavor. Oak is a little too bitter. Cherry is very good, okay? And there's a lot of woods like that that will work that are fragrant-type woods.
Yes.
But you can get woods from many different places, and you do not have to go to the lumber yard to get this stuff.
Right.
you just go out to your firewood pile and make sure you get the right species, split the wood up, and take an axe and just make chips off of it.
And make chips, yes.
And that'll work very well. Soak them in water and do it. People come to me all the time wanting wood chips and stuff. And I say, hey, right here. There's your wood pile. Right here. Get all you want. It's free. So you don't have to go to any effort. And I'm not altogether sure cedar is the only one you can use for that. I think you can use many other kinds of woods for that.
Oh, for planking?
For planking.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you soak it, it keeps it from burning. Main purpose for that.
In that case, yes.
And it's not going to smoke so much if it's you know, seriously soaked like that, you know, because it has to steam all the moisture off first before it's even going to start smoking. So that's why maybe the cedar doesn't really add as much flavor as you'd think it should.
As you would think it would. Mm-hmm. Now, in my extensive reading that I've done in the last 3 weeks, I did find an interesting little point. It said, and this I find very interesting. I like the idea. Smoke the fish in a wood that is native to where the fish was caught. And that's why alder is used so much for fish in the Northwest because it's all around. I forget what alder is like a.
It's very much like beech and birch.
Birch,
they're
okay.
Very much like that.
But that's why you get alder smoked salmon because that's where it is. But then and it told about in Texas something like that you would use mesquite, and in other parts of the country you would use other things, and certain ones are will get bitter if just because they are the in a sense the wrong wood. But I think that's very interesting that you have that information. Yeah, just go out to your wood pile. That's all it is, yeah.
You just need to know, you better know what kind of wood it is, though.
Yes, you should know what kind of wood. The other thing I wanted to bring up is, and I don't know if you've touched it, but there's liquid smoke, which I'm not exactly sure what that is, though I have an idea that what they do is they'll take large volumes of lumber, say hickory
yes.
or oak, and they smoke it.
Yes.
And bubble it through water.
I'm not sure if it's bubbled through water or condensed in some other way. I was sort of trying to read a bit about that, and I was surprised that you can indeed make your own liquid smoke. But I didn't sit there and pay a lot of attention to it. But it is a possibility. That's all I had ever learned about, because I always put liquid smoke in my baked beans. Unlike Bush's dog, I would put liquid smoke in mine.
And I also know that commercially, when people make hot dogs or sausages or things like that,
yes,
they put the sausage in a casing and stuff like that. Sometimes, especially hot dogs, and sometimes
yes.
those casings, well, definitely in the case of hot dogs, the casings are removed. But a lot of times they spray the hot dogs and stuff with the liquid smoke before they actually smoke the stuff.
Oh, well, yes, they do. It's kind of an extra guarantee. Yeah,
yes. Well,
liquid smoke. You got it.
Thank you. Well, yes, according to here now, I am looking at Wikipedia, the font of all knowledge here on my computer, and it says that liquid smoke indeed consists of smoke condensates that are produced through the controlled burning of wood chips and sawdust. The resulting smoke is passed through water, which captures and dissolves the smoke-flavored components in solution. This base then can be condensed and modified through many methods and develop a wide range of smoke flavors. But essentially, you're right. What they do is they pass the smoke through water, capture the stuff, and then that's what you get in your little bottle.
Little bottle of liquid smoke.
Yeah, okay, very good. I have another caller here. We have somebody from Kankakee, and someone called in also asking if you could repeat the information about the smoker. We'll do that.
Oh, yes, I will do
that. But I want to, the caller in Kankakee here is on cell phone, so why don't we get right to them on our line for, hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you very much for taking
sure.
my call.
Yeah.
I always enjoy your program. it's just a wonderful, wonderful program. And I came in late today, but I heard you talking about cedar. And the reason why you had some trepidations about the generic cedar is that there are several different kinds of cedar. But the kind of cedar that they use for planking is white cedar. And the kind of cedar that they use for chests of drawers.
Oh,
is red
aromatic cedar.
Oh, okay. So it's
one is a white colored board and one is a red colored board.
Okay. Well, I'm glad for that piece of information there. So then we're really talking about two different.
Yes, you
things.
Definitely would not want to use aromatic cedar to try and work with it with a charcoaler.
Well, that's kind of what I thought too, but good. I'm glad to
correct.
All right, very good. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thanks to the caller. And again, anybody else who would like to call in here, we're talking this morning about this is our monthly food show. We've been doing it for a long time, first Wednesday, with our the guy we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he picks a topic and then we talk about that. And we have a lot of fun exchanging experiences and asking questions, cooking tips, we have recipes we have, and this time around, because he's recently become jazzed about smoking his own fish at home, he said, well, let's, you know, he's interested in hearing other people talk about do you do your own smoking and how do you do it and what kind of equipment do you use and what kind of wood do you like to use? And, you know, there are a lot of variables here. So someone said they would, can you give again the information about the smoker, where you got it?
Where I got it,
and
yes.
And also they were also interested in having you give your, again, the recipe you use when you smoked
The salmon. Okay, yeah. I can do that with some dispatch here. Now I'm going to give you two different addresses so that you can study one and then utilize the other. But the main thing for this stovetop smoker is Cameron S. C A M E R O N S. S-M-O-K-E-R, one word, Cameron's Smoker, one word, .com. And that gets you to the whole set of things that Cameron does. But there was a small link that got me to My Secret Pantry. That's www.mysecretpantry.com. / /pop-up - recipe.
What I did was, and I just put in the browser, I just put in My Secret Pantry.
My Secret Pantry will do it.
And it'll get you to their website. Then you got to look at, because they looks like they sell, you know, they sell cooking stuff and they sell pots and pans and they sell bread machines and coffee makers and you just have
to. Yes, well, it's like a store that sells a variety of things, but at this particular point, the total of USPS priority mail being $5.95 made the total of it being only $49.95, while other places are selling the same thing for $60.
Ah, okay, so that's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah,
you know, for a piece of, and it looks like it's made a pretty heavy gauge.
It's made a very heavy gauge, and it all packs away in a 9x13. It's very, very simple to get, and they send so that you aren't going to be
you don't have to go out to the wood pile.
Yeah, they send you close to $12 worth of sawdust, and you only use 2 tablespoons of that sawdust. That comes from Cameron's. I find that a little expensive, but because I went out to Menards and got apple and maple, and what's the main one?
Hickory?
I couldn't get hickory there. But they had a big sale on all this at Menards 2 weeks ago, and so I got 4 pounds of chips for $2, or 99 cents in one case. And then I was wandering through Tuesday morning, and I found hickory chips at Tuesday morning. So the chips are available. And it's inexpensive, and the thing that surprised me was you don't use large amounts of wood, mm-hmm. because in this little confined smoker, you can use too much wood and it will make the taste bitter if there is too much smoke, and also every writer wanted to have a different relationship to the wood. And so, I hate this. I love that. Don't ever do fish with mesquite. I'm sure that the folks in Texas would argue with that a whole lot.
Yeah. I like the flavoring of mesquite, but myself, I think that would be a little too, it would be too much for fish. But but if you really like mesquite, I guess I'd say, why not? You know, use whatever. And as you say, I'm sure it's true that people, if you're doing smoking, you use what you got. So in the Southwest, that's why people use mesquite, and that's why in the Northwest they use the alder or maybe yes, or the cedar. Well, they use what they've got.
Well, I like that. I like that idea of being regional with what you're using. Apple wood is very good, and a lot of people have apple trees. Mm-hmm. Go out and snip off twigs of apple at any time, any time, winter or whenever, and you don't necessarily have to soak them too long. There's an argument then. One says, "Oh, always soak the wood." The other one says, "Don't soak the wood." And so you have to. That's why I'm interested in what people have to say in their own experiences here, because I'm just getting all this information. It's all twisted around, but.
Well, that's – and I wanted to come back to that because I was curious. So in – when you do your stovetop smoker and you put your chips in the bottom of that, do you soak the chips?
No.
So you just put in the dry –
I just put in the dry chips.
Two tablespoons.
I mean, just the tiniest handful. What you have to learn – and again, there is no way of doing it other than doing it and learning from it. You can cook a whole trout or two trout in 25 minutes. That's all along. Which was another surprise. I thought, oh my God! I thought this was 3, 4, 8, 12 hours of cooking all this. No, 25 minutes and the trout is done and happy to be eaten. Yeah. And but for a thicker piece of salmon, I did cook it that night for 45 minutes, but it didn't use any more. It didn't use any more of the chips than just the tiniest handful. I suppose I just might have laid out something that might have been something like 2 inches by 4 inches in the bottom, and mm-hmm. and that's in the center. And you put it only over one burner. You don't try to spread it out over everything. It burns in the middle and cleans up beautifully. It will stain the container. Don't expect to have a beautiful silver container all the time. It will stain it, but it won't spoil it. So just keep it going.
And give the salmon recipe again.
Oh yes. You can vary this now in Seattle. When they grilled the salmon, they put a lot, like 3/4 inch of brown sugar over the top. And I stood there and I remember wondering what is going to happen to all this, and are they going to turn it over? And that's the part that I don't remember. But in the smoking, you don't turn anything over. It's done. So I took 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of smoked paprika, which is the latest thing from south of Spain.
It's really good.
And it is really good. Everybody says, well, then why do you bother smoking it if you got the smoked paprika? Oh, okay. And then I wanted just a little punch. And so I thought chipotle powder would be exactly right, but only 1/4 teaspoon of the chipotle powder in all of this other mixture. And that's enough to cover one slab of salmon, and just rub it on the top and pat it down, coat it there, and then lay it onto the, I do believe I did cut the salmon into chunks. But I kept all the chunks together. I did that so I could sort of take it off, and it would be easier to take off. And so that's all it was brown sugar and smoked paprika and chipotle powder. And chipotle powder is so difficult to find. I hunted all over town. I couldn't find any. I found some chipotles that were dried, and I ground them up in my spice mixer, and they just weren't any good. And I thought, oh, come on. So I called Spice House, which is up near Evanston. And, they had it right there. They had it in the mail the next day, and I had it the next day after that. So you can buy a very good chipotle powder from Spice House, which is the source that Alton Brown uses for his grains of paradise and all those exotic spices and herbs.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk to somebody else here.
Yes.
On our toll-free line, the line 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Doyle, have you ever done the Chinese smoking?
No, except I remember someone doing it, and they did it in a wok.
Yes.
With tea.
Right.
Yes. Tell us about that.
Usually tea and brown sugar and rice.
Oh.
And
oh, I see.
Some spices, five spice kind of spices, star anise.
Yeah.
Often Szechuan peppercorns. But I've not done it for fish. I've done it for poultry. But they do poultry and fish, but they cook it separately.
No, how do you mean?
Smoking. Well, the food is steamed generally and then smoked.
Oh, and then smoked.
So you're not relying on the smoking to cook the food.
Oh, it's the same. It's the same bit. It's just going to flavor it.
Yeah.
But now it's all of a, it's a very complex mixture.
Not that complex. Let me find a fast one here. A quarter cup of black tea leaves.
Yes.
A quarter cup of packed brown sugar. A third cup raw rice.
Raw rice, yes.
This is uncooked. A tablespoon of Szechuan peppercorns. 3 whole star anise. A quarter cup of Chinese cashew bark, which is very much like cinnamon.
Cashew bark.
And that's really it. You generally marinate salt and Szechuan peppercorns, and then you steam the chicken, and then you smoke it, and you line your wok with heavy duty foil.
Oh, that's right.
Layers and layers. You know, so that it doesn't go through and spoil your wok. And then you put the other, you know, those ingredients in it and get it smoking. And you put the food in. You create some kind of a rack that it can sit on. Cover it with a lid and kind of, you know, seal off the lid so that you're keeping as much smoke in as possible. And open all your windows and turn on your fan.
Yes, that would give out some good smoke. But I remember that was the first time I'd ever heard about smoking was somebody had smoked with tea.
Yeah,
and that is quite a popular way of doing it. But I didn't relate that to the same because somehow that just did not seem to be like the English must have been doing it. Like as I say, in 77, when I got so turned on by the smoked trout and a good beer.
It's a different flavor.
It is totally different flavor. Yeah. So that was good. Well, I do know that you can do all this in the bottom of a wok, but I hadn't ever experienced that, or I hadn't seen it done. So
it's sort an interesting of thing to do. The other thing on the fake smoke thing,
yes,
I don't know whether you talked about this because I wasn't listening earlier, but there is the Spanish smoked paprika.
Yes, that's what I used.
Oh, did you?
I made up something for my salmon, which was brown sugar, smoked paprika, and chipotle powder.
Oh, I heard you talking about the chipotle, but I didn't.
Yeah, that was just a little touch at the end, and it made it thrilled me so much that I don't think I ever want to change that recipe one bit. It really was good.
Well, I often will add some of that smoked paprika when I'm using chipotle.
Oh, yes.
To boost the smokiness a little bit.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would, wouldn't it? Yeah. That would be good.
Because chipotle can get pretty warm.
That's why you don't want to use too much. So a quarter of a teaspoon was enough for this little amount to do the top of one chunk of salmon.
And you don't want to use too much of the smoked paprika either because it can get very strong.
It also made your fingers orange. But I didn't bother. I didn't bother about that. That was good. Well, thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Try Chinese smoking.
Okay, I will.
Fun.
I'm glad that you got around to mentioning smoked paprika because I think it's a wonderful ingredient, and I would suggest to people that they try it.
And it's relatively new to people. I mean,
I think I've had it
maybe 4 or 5 years was my first experience with it. And that was somebody who had been to Spain and brought some back. And then I found some in Colorado where my sister was. I found smoked paprika. Mm. So.
Well, we're going to have to leave it that.
Oh, just dear.
Someone did, again, they wanted to know the name of the stovetop smoker that you were talking about.
And its name is Cameron.
It's Cameron.
Cameron.
So Cameron, the Cameron stovetop smoker.
Yeah.
And if you go to mysecretpantry.com, they sell it. And there may be some other places.
Well, there are, but this one is the one who is selling it special
I thought it was a good deal.
I thought it was.
Yeah, okay. Doyle Moore, the man we call our official chef in residence, unofficial, official, whatever, first Wednesday of the month. Thank you very much for being here. Also,
I enjoy it.
Also, we'd like to mention that just coming up on the Afternoon Magazine today, some more story of food and people who raise food. It's the story of a 5-generation Illinois farming family. Celeste Quinn will be talking with Tara Brockman. She's author of the book The Seasons on Henry's Farm, A Year of Food and Life on a Sustainable Farm. They produce 650 different varieties of fruits and vegetables for thousands of people in central Illinois and the Chicago area. So that'll be in the 1 o'clock hour of the Afternoon Magazine today. The broadcast today made possible in part by the Brown Bag Deli in downtown Monticello. Brown Bag Deli offers freshly made casual lunches and dinners, homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, and a wacky collection of unique cards and gifts. Brown Bag encourages you to join them in supporting WILL. While we're on the subject of supporting WILL, it's not too soon to start thinking about October 14th. Now, that's just next week. With the contributions that we receive before that day, we will build a member match fund to challenge other listeners to join you as new or returning friends of WILL. It is just that simple. You can give online at our site. It's willpledge.org. And some more talk about food coming up in the next hour of the show. We'll be talking about things that schools can do to encourage good eating habits in children, both educationally and in terms of what they offer there in the lunch line. And our guest for the program will be Marlene Schwartz from the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale University. That's coming up in a little bit. First, though, we'll take our usual break for an update on the markets and news. Stay tuned.
Agricultural information on WILL is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. Let's go right out to the pits in Kansas City and Chicago. In Kansas City, December wheat now trading at, as I get the right screen up for you, 472 down 3.5. March 489 down 2. May not trading, at least not in the pits at this hour. December wheat in Chicago trading at 455.25 down 5. March 474.25 down 5. May not trading in the pits either. You know, the May pits for the Kansas City nor the Chicago wheat trading in the pits. December corn 356.25 down 2. March 368.25 down 2.25. May 379, that's up a quarter. July 386 down a quarter. And September of 2010, 395.25 up 1.25. November beans 907 down 3. January 911 down 3.25. March 916 up 1.75.